Take a Bible, let's turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. This sermon is brought to you by Dodge Ram Trucks and also Wrangler Jeans today. Yeah. I think that's all that's on me. They just hand these shirts out to us and say, preach. And so we're glad to have sponsorship. The ties are down, but the sponsorships are up. And I thought about that when I wore that this morning. So anyway, I don't drive a Ram, a Dodge, and I don't wear Wrangler jeans. But here we are. It gets you in free at the rodeo, so that's all that matters. Joshua chapter 20 this morning. Joshua chapter 20. We'll read the entire chapter. It's only 9 verses, so we'll look there this morning. We do thank you for being here on Roundup Sunday. It's a joy to have this time, and hopefully we rounded up a few people. And we're always looking for folks that God would have us have at this church. And I'm praying for our church, and it is amazing. Brother Latta says it every Sunday morning, but I promise you, this church is unique because every Sunday morning we have visitors. It doesn't happen at all churches. And so we're very grateful for that. Visitors, thank you for being here. Come back another Sunday, and you can actually hear our pastor preach, and I'm up here to make him look good. So I always preach my dud messages, so it's always looks good. But I do appreciate Pastor allowing me to preach this morning. Verse 1 says, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying." Now notice that phrase, "The Lord also spake unto Joshua." First statement, I just want to kind of explain some things here, but this has already been spoken of. The cities of refuge had already been placed into the law of Moses, and you can look at that up in Deuteronomy, and you can look it up in the book of Numbers. And so now he's saying, okay, now that you've inhabited the land that I have been waiting for you to inhabit, here is the cities of refuge. These cities of refuge, there was 3 on each side of the Jordan River, and we'll talk about those here in a little bit. But he says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses." All right, so he had prophesied before that there were going to be these cities. Now they're in the land there, and the cities will come to fruition. Verse 3 says, "That the slayer that killeth any person..." Now notice the 2 words it uses here. These are unintentional, okay? It says, "unawares, unwittedly, may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doeth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that they may dwell among them." Now verse 5 says, "And if the avenger of blood pursue after him," which would have been a family member or those that were close relation to the one that was killed, it says, "then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hands, because he smote his neighbor unwittedly and hated him not beforehand." So this is not premeditated murder. This is not murder out of hatred. This is murder that happens accidentally. And so God is making provision, 6 cities that these people could run to. And so notice what he says, verse 6. He says, "And he shall dwell in that city until..." Now this is very important, verse 6 is, and we'll talk about it again here in a little bit. But it says, "And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until death, the death of the high priest." Now all of these 6 cities were Levitical cities. These were all cities that the Levites lived in, okay? So he said, "And they can live there until the high priest die, that they should be in those days. And then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled." Now here are the cities. It says, "And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kidrith Arba, which is in Hebron, which Hebron is in the mount of Judah." And verse 8 says, "And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assign Bezar in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh." Verse 9 says, "And these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any man..." By the way, I love that word, whosoever. It says, and die and not die by the hand of the avenger until he stand before the congregation. Now, we'll explain all this here in a little bit, but let's pray. And we'll ask the Lord to help us as we preach on a place of deliverance, a place of deliverance. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. And God, I need your help this morning. I pray that you would just take me and use me as an instrument in your hand. And Lord, I certainly yield myself to you, to your Holy Spirit, to your Word, and to Christ today, as you would have me just to be a conduit, Lord, that you would have me just to be an instrument for you. And God, I pray that, Lord, as I stand today, that you would stand with me and through me. Speak to your people. God, I pray for those that are here this morning that need a place of refuge. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would help them today and help us all. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we see these cities of refuge. There's some things about these cities. I want to give you four things about these cities that I want us to get today, and then we'll apply it to a New Testament principle. Number one, they were established before by God before they were needed. And so in Numbers chapter 35 and Deuteronomy chapter 19, the provision of these cities were instituted by Moses through the law of Moses. God said that there's going to be a need for these cities when the children of Israel take the land of Canaan, that these cities are going to be necessary. So these cities were established by God before they were ever needed. God in His provision was looking down through time and seeing that these cities were going to be a necessity during these times. Number two, we see they were easily accessible and available for all. So positionally, they were placed three on each side of Jordan. And if you study these out, that half of them were mountainous. And so they were very easy to spot, but the other ones were in kind of a plain, but yet they were on upon. Matter of fact, if you look at verse 8, it says upon the plain. It means it was even sticking up in this wilderness area. And by the way, you study these out, it's amazing because some of the clearest roads that they had at that time led directly to these cities. It is said that these cities could be accessed. The longest would ever be from you would be a day's journey. But most of them were hours away from someone. So it wasn't like you had to travel across the world to get to these cities. They were very accessible. They were positionally placed in very prominent places. And then number three, we see this. The entrance into the gates of these cities were always open. They were permissible. Now, notice what it says. He says that the gates were always open, that these cities were all, that not only were they accessible, but they were always open. I like that. I like things that are open 24 hours, don't you? Bucky's, yeah. Thank Jesus for Bucky's. This sermon also brought to you by Bucky's. We see that these cities were, the entrance into the gates of these cities were always open. There was most of these cities. Now, if you study cities in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, that at night they would close their gates, but they would have a keeper there that would open that gate if the person that was there for the right purpose. And so these entrance into the gates were always open. Then we see the endorsement of these cities, the proclamation of these cities. By the way, everybody would have known during this time where these cities were. It wasn't like they were an obscure thing. It's like, I accidentally kill somebody and I'm like, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. But they would have known through the law of Moses that these cities, these six cities, that this was your city. That's the one you flee to. By the way, that's the one when you got into that city, you looked up in the directory and it said, Shechem, I'm going there in case I get in trouble. And so what's the importance of these cities? Well, I want you to take your Bibles now, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's look at the New Testament principle in this. The New Testament principle of the cities of refuge. We see that in Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6. And we'll begin in verse 17, the New Testament principle of an Old Testament story, that we see that we need a place of deliverance today. We're not necessarily Old Testament saints. And we need a place to run to today. Amen. By the way, I want to inform all of us that are here today, we are all guilty of murder. Because of our sin passed down through Adam, that we are all guilty of placing Christ on the cross. Now, he chose willingly to go. We know that, but the reason he went is because of our sins. He was on the cross, not dying for himself, but he was on the cross being a city of refuge for me and for you. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Come to me." And I believe that Jesus is that New Testament city of refuge that we can run to. Now notice the New Testament principle here in verse 17. It says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly," I love that, "to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutable ability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath." And it says, verse 18, "that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie," I like that too, God can't lie, "we might have a strong consolation." Now notice the next statement, "who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Notice that refuge. And it says, verse 19, "which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." I love that statement. Jesus went behind the veil. Jesus being, and you go down and study this, it talks about, he is after verse 20, just read it. It says, "whether the forerunner is for us entered in," even Jesus made an high priest. It's very important you see that. "Made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now back in Joshua it said, "until you had a place of refuge until the high priest died." Anybody picking this up yet? That the Bible says that Jesus being our high priest forever. Jesus doesn't die. Jesus doesn't quit being your high priest. And so how long do you have a refuge? For eternity. The Old Testament Levitical priests, they were like us. They were mortal and they would die. And when they died, those people that were in that city as a refuge, they were to be sent back into their original city. But here's the thing, my friends, is that this morning Jesus Christ will never die, and Jesus Christ will never sleep, He will never slumber, and He will never quit being your high priest. And so how long do you as a Christian have refuge in Christ? Forever. You say, "well, I believe in losing my salvation." You keep believing that, but the Bible doesn't teach that. By the way, you can believe what you want to, but it doesn't make it true just because you believe it. The Scripture is very, very, very specific in eternal salvation. Matter of fact, you can read Hebrews chapter 9, and it can prove just through one chapter that you're saved eternally. Amen. By the way, if you can earn it, and you try keeping it, you'll have it for not a minute, because you can't earn it. Amen. Jesus died for you. Jesus went to the cross, and by matter of fact, you study it out when in the book of Matthew, when we get to the end of Matthew, we see Jesus on the cross and God placing His eternal wrath upon His Son because the sin of the world was placed upon Him, Hebrews tells us. And the Father had to turn His head. Why? Because He had to pour out all the wrath upon His Son in one moment. Jesus took it for you. What could you do to get saved? You can't do anything. There's no salvation found in you. There's salvation found in Christ. You're not your own place of refuge. Jesus Christ is the place of refuge. Well, let me give these to you again. You've already heard these, but I want to say a place of refuge in Christ that it was established by God before it was needed. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says, "the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So long before Jesus ever died, He died in the Father's eyes. Long before we were ever thought of, we love Him because what? He first loved us. Jesus, it was appointed that Jesus was going to die long before me and you ever sinned. Long before Adam and Eve ever sinned, there was provision that was made for you. I love when things are in provision, provisional things. Don't you? Wouldn't it be good to have a can of gas with you everywhere you went? Just in case. I've had it happen to me once here lately. I didn't have gas with me. I didn't even have a can with me. There was no provision that was made. Why? Because I don't see the future. If I did, I wouldn't want to live today. Right? But can I remind you that God has provided for you before you even know you needed something provided for yourself? Amen. God knows what you need this morning. Christian, let me remind you is that not only in salvation matters, is Christ provide, God provided Christ long before you ever knew you needed Him, but in your life, He knows exactly what you need as a Christian, and He's already provided that for you. Now, the second thing we see is that the way of deliverance is easily accessible and available to all. Just as that city of refuge, when they went to that city and they pleaded their case before the elders and before the high priest, and they said, "You're allowed to come in here," so must we go to Jesus. By the way, back over in Joshua chapter 20, we see the word whosoever. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Now, Jesus is not prejudiced. He's not racial. Amen. Amen. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that He's not just prejudiced toward Israel. And said, "No, if you're not a Jew, you can't come in." I'm glad He said it doesn't matter. Paul said there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. That the gospel allows us that access into Jesus Christ, into salvation of Jesus Christ. Amen. The way of deliverance is easily accessible. People have complicated the salvation plan. It irks me to turn the TV on the one of those channels that, you know, this illustration like TBN or something like that. And this sermon is not brought to you by TBN. But, I mean, there may be some good on there, but you turn over there, it's no wonder people are confused today. This preacher's preaching this kind of gospel. This preacher's preaching this kind of gospel. And Book of Romans says there is no other gospel. There's only one gospel. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel. One gospel. And what is that gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not about Buddha. It's not about Muhammad. It's not about Allah. It's not about anybody else other than Jesus Christ. He is the only city of refuge for your soul. You can run to alcohol, you can run to drugs, you can run to any other god in this world, but I promise you, you're not in a place of refuge. You're in a place of damnation, and you'll die and go to hell if you're trusting in those things. But my friends, when you run to Jesus, we sing the song, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe." Not "Jesus paid half and I paid the other." We might as well sing the songs the way we truly believe. "I surrender some. Just as I were, still I am." Hello? Jesus paid most. That's the way we should sing them. Hey, listen to me. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I gave my life. Listen, I took my life and I said, "Lord, I don't want it because why? I'm imperfect. I'm a sinful person. Lord, I want to take You to be my substitute." And I trusted Jesus Christ. I put my faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with a heart, guess what? I got saved. Because I trusted in Christ. I entered into that city of refuge. Why? Because it's easily accessible. Acts chapter 17, verse 27 says, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Jesus is easily accessible. I'm glad when we send missionaries across the sea, whether they're in Africa, whether they're in Argentina, whether they're in wherever in this world, that Jesus is accessible to the farthest tribe in the world. The moment that a child bows on their knees in the jungles of Africa, whether they're in Argentina, whether they're in Mexico, a child bows down and says, "I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior," He's right there. Amen. That's pretty good. By the way, God is not an American. Sometimes we get tunnel vision, don't we? That He's a white American. He's not none of those things. He's eternal. He crosses all boundaries and all language barriers. It doesn't matter what language they are trusting Him in. Jesus hears it. Hallelujah to that. I'm glad He's not an English-speaking God. I'm glad He's not a Spanish-speaking God. I'm glad He's a heart-speaking God. He can hear the very thoughts of your head, the very thoughts of your heart. And listen, when you call upon Him, He will be your refuge. We see the entrance Number three, into the deliverance. I love this. Entrance into deliverance. Gates are always open, day and night. He's accessible, isn't he? By the way, it don't matter what time of day you want to get saved. Jesus doesn't have a closing time. At 8 o'clock, Jesus don't go, well, I guess we better close up shop, boys. Angels, let's go on back to the back of glory and let's take off the rest of the evening. I'm glad he never closes up shop. Amen. I'm glad it doesn't matter. Listen to me. One day he is going to close up shop. When that trumpet sounds, things are going to change in this life. You better trust him while you can. Let me give you this last thing. The endorsement of the deliverance has been proclaimed through all ages by preachers, missionaries, prophets, laymen. Jesus Christ has been endorsed, just like in the Old Testament. They would have known what city was their city of refuge. Why? Because the elders would have told them. The priests would have told them. The law of Moses would have told them. It was endorsed. It was proclaimed. It was a place that they would have known about. Listen, I'm not up here this morning because I'm trying to get a paycheck or sponsorship from Ram Trucks. I'm up here because I want to proclaim to you Jesus Christ. Amen. Because He is that city of refuge. By the way, wouldn't it be bad if the world was on fire and I had a place of refuge and I closed my door and said good luck to the rest of you? I don't know about you, but I would want to save as many as I could. I would want to rescue as many as I could. This morning, maybe you're here. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior. Can I beg you? Just come on. He's a city of refuge. Run to Him. There's a song I used to sing many, many years ago. Many years ago I started singing it. And it's the city of refuge. There's a story in the Bible about a city God has prepared that a man can run to when he's found himself in trouble, a time of great despair, fleeing from the one who sought his life. And there outside that city, he cried to the keeper and asked if he could enter in. And there he would find safety, as God had made provision in that city of refuge for him. So one day I ran to that city of refuge. Though guilty I was, I found shelter in the blood that He shed for me. I was condemned, but God showed mercy. At Calvary, God built that city of refuge for me. He built that for you. He built a city of refuge for you. Listen to me. Back over in Joshua chapter 20, if you read it also, not only were those cities set up for those who had committed murder unwittingly, but also it just kind of sticks it in there at the end, in verse 8 or somewhere in there. It says, and for the traveler and for the sojourner. It's a place not only a refuge for the lost, but it's a place of refuge for those who are weary and for those who need a place to stop and rest. By the way, two things Jesus is in Joshua chapter 20. I give these to you and I'm almost done. Number one, He's a refuge. But number two, He's a place of rest. Can I remind me and you one thing I need today? I need a source of rest. We live in such a fast-paced world, don't we? We live in, we say it 100 times, but we live in a microwave society. I don't want to wait for nothing. I don't have to sit around anymore and wonder. By the way, you can sit in there and you can, like the other day, me and the kids were watching Andy Griffith. And the question was, we started watching when it turned from black and white to color. And one thing was missing when it went to color. Barney. My kids asked me, Dad, what happened to Barney? Or somebody asked me, maybe it was Donya, asked me, what happened to Barney? You know what? Usually, back before Google days, we'd sit around and ponder it, wouldn't we? I don't know. I wonder what happened to him. But we don't have to do that anymore, do we? Because we're this kind of society, aren't we? You know what I did? I took out my phone and I Googled, why did Barney leave Andy Griffith? You know what it said? Because he wanted to pursue other movies. we're done with the conversation. We're not pondering that question anymore at our house. Listen, if I want popcorn nowadays, remember we used to have to pour it in the thing, put a little oil in there, shake it around, put the top on there. I remember those days. I remember when we even got fancier and they came with the little tin pan that would scald your hand off. Everybody remember those? Had the little thing on it, it got bigger. As a kid, that was like entertainment and a movie. It was, you know, entertainment and popcorn together. And then watching Mama go, whoo, oh, you know, and she'd grab a dish towel usually, you know, because we didn't have pot holders back in those days. That's what towels were for. Or that's what your kids were for. Or that's what your sleeve was for. And today, like, we love popcorn in our house. What do? We put it in the, it even has a button up there that says popcorn. I don't even have to even think about it anymore. I just smash the button, popcorn. Ta-da. Is it that way we want things today? I'm that way. I hate waiting on anything. If a light takes more than a minute, we're like, good night. We're going to be here forever. I walk into a restaurant nowadays, and if they say, well, it's going to be about 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to spend 30 minutes going finding another one because I am not going to wait. If a road is blocked, I will drive 60 miles out of the way just so I don't have to stop. Because we live in that fast-paced world. And listen to me, spiritually speaking, I'm pointing all my fingers at me. Spiritually speaking, sometimes we have trouble waiting on God. Sometimes we have trouble waiting on the Lord to work in our life because we're like, God, don't you know we're in this fast? But God knows that. God has already made provision for that. He is a place of rest for you. You need to come to Him and just nestle underneath His wings and nestle into His love and nestle into His home and say, God, I am so tired. I need rest, spiritually speaking. And by the way, that's what He was for these travelers. In the New Testament, He is the place of rest for us. Read the book of Hebrews. The word rest is in there several times. Because you know what? The children of Israel, when they entered into the promised land, now listen to me, I'm almost done. When the children of Israel entered into the promised land, there was two things they needed. They needed that place of refuge. But number two, the book of Hebrews also tells us that when they entered into the place of the promised land, Canaan land, another word for it, was the land of rest. That they could rest from all their trials and things that they faced beforehand. Listen, I don't know about you, but I need a place of rest this morning. I need a place that I can come to and say, God, listen to me. I know how we all feel. I know none of y'all are like this, but I'm like this. I get stressed out sometimes. I worry myself to death about worrying. Hello? I get discouraged. Y'all say, man, we need a new associate pastor. But you get the same way. What do we need? We need a place that we can go to. Listen, I'm glad we got a great pastor. We got great staff members. We got great counselor here. You can go to them and you'll find help, right? And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that whenever I'm having some trouble, I can go to my pastor. I'm glad I can go to him and say, Pastor, how do I deal with this? But you know what's the greatest thing? Sometimes pastor looks, I never will forget one time, I went to my home pastor about a situation. And it was a situation about a church I was in with pastor beforehand. And I went back to my home church and I said, Pastor, I said, I don't know what to do. This has happened in our church. And he said, well, what do you want me to tell you? All right, tell me something. He said, well, I'm praying for you. Gave me no help at all. You know what I had to do? I had to turn to the Lord. And I had to find a place of rest with Him and know that the decision I was about to make was going to be the right decision that He wanted me to make. Two things this morning. Maybe you're here and maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I remind you that Calvary is a place of refuge for you? That Jesus Christ is a place of refuge for you. You can run to this religion, you can run to this drug, you can run to this person, but until you come to Jesus, you will not find a place of refuge. But number two, you will not find a place of rest for your soul either. Listen, Christian, this morning, maybe you're a sojourner. Maybe you've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home, the song says. I want to come back to that place of refuge, that place of rest in my life. I've been reading a book as my personal devotion, and it's talking about strengthening our hands, and talks about it's going through the book of Nehemiah, And I'm telling you, it's been a help to me because, you know what, Nehemiah, they had people that were warring and those that were bearing the burdens, and there was a lot going on during that time. But one thing we see about Nehemiah is that he found a place to pray. He found that constant place of prayer. And sometimes we're so busy to do things in life that we don't find that place of rest, that place of prayer in our life. And say, God, I give it all to you. How about you this morning? If you're here this morning, why don't you just run down here and say, I want to have refuge in my life. I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh man, I'd love to introduce you to Him through the Word of God. But maybe you're a Christian here this morning. Maybe your life is just chaotic. By the way, chaos and Christianity go hand in hand sometimes, don't it? We're living a chaotic world. We can't change that. Right? We cannot change the world we live in. But we can change us inwardly. And we can change us spiritually by coming to Christ and finding a place of rest. Let's stand this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray. And then we'll sing a verse of invitation. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your blessings, God. Thank You so much, God, for the provision You made for us with Jesus Christ. Just as You did with Your people in the Old Testament, Lord, You already saw what they would face in life. And God, You, through Your omnipotence and God, through Your, Lord, just Your holiness. And God, You, through Your grace and mercy, You allowed them to have cities that, God, that were just... They were very accessible, God. They were close. That these people could run to, that they could go to, and that they would find a place of refuge. God, today I pray if there's one here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, I pray for them, God, right now. I pray You give them faith and courage this morning to step forward and, God, to come find that place of refuge. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here this morning that, God, they're just busy. God, they're just, Lord, they're not waiting on You. And God, You said that we need to wait on You. And God, I pray that You would help them to find a place of rest. And Lord, I pray that You would help us this morning. We love You, Lord. I ask You to bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.